We get set to go with voluntary reaction following Tennessee's win over Mississippi State in the SEC tournament quarterfinal matchup. As I'm Nate Hodges alongside Davey Hudson. We get you going here live from the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. You can give us a shout, 865-546-8200. What we all wanted has now happened. Well, I don't know. Maybe you wanted Kentucky to lose earlier in the day. I'd have been fine with that. But they have survived, and Tennessee, of course, has gotten the win over Mississippi State. And we'll be talking about that one for the next little bit. 865-546-8200 if you want to weigh in about Tennessee and their performance this evening. I know it's a late one. Hopefully with the quick turnaround, it won't be too bad for Tennessee. This game against Mississippi State is, you know, it was tough, but I don't think it was necessarily a physical battle that will take too much out of the Volunteers. Tomorrow's tip time should be around 3:30 against Kentucky from Bridgestone Arena. Again, Nate Hodges with you alongside Davey Hudson. Davey, quick big takeaways from Tennessee's performance against the Bulldogs tonight.
You mentioned being able to not have the whole lot of a physical aspect as far as moving forward against Kentucky. Grant Williams almost set the entire second half, so he should be well rested whenever it comes to playing tomorrow.
It is a final now, 83-76. We're kind of waiting for that final foul free throw sequence to end there. But we are live. We are on the Fan Run app only and the live stream only, not on the radio. So if you give us a shout, 865-546-8200 is the number. What did you think about Tennessee's performance tonight? What do you think about it moving into the game tomorrow with Kentucky? That's what we'll be discussing for the next, 45 minutes or so as we do a quick late-night voluntary action here. It's Davey Hudson and Nate Hodges. How about Kyle Alexander tonight? 16 points on 8 of 11 shooting. He had 9 rebounds, 7 on the offensive end, and it was a killer performance for Kyle, who I think what we're learning now is the key to this Tennessee team is that Admiral and Grant show up as they usually do. Bones become a pretty consistent performer. And then if you get one or, you know, two role guys to show up for this Tennessee team, it is going to be tough for anyone to compete and challenge with them. And that's really when they've played poorly. It's been the role guys not showing up or having poor performances or being super inefficient that's really cost Tennessee the basketball game. So tonight, though, Admiral Schofield leads the way with 20. You had Grant Williams pour in 16, even though he was in foul trouble late in the second half. And you had Kyle Alexander with one of his best games, maybe probably the best game of the season. I can't think of another off the top of my head. And Jordan Bone, while he wasn't spectacular like he had been in some previous outings, he still chipped in 14 and only had one turnover and 9 assists. So it's definitely not a 27-point performance for Bone, but it is a really efficient night from him in terms of getting everyone else involved. Only 3 of 8 from the field, but 7 of 8 from the line. Iced the game away for the Volunteers late. And then Bowden's in double figures as well. 3 of 8 from the floor. He was 2 of 4 from 3, so that's a good sign. 10 points for Jordan Bowden off the bench. And your Tennessee Volunteers win at 83-76.
I was just going to say, usually how the first kind of plays go can sort of set the tone, and Tennessee had two really bad plays back-to-back, but fortunately that didn't really affect them that much in the first half. So it's great to just see them methodically wear a team down. And yeah, I mean, Mississippi State, they hit some shots there late to be able to hang around, but you got to feel good with how this team is looking going into tomorrow.
You can give us a shout, 865-546-8200. Up first, we have Brendan on the horn. Brendan, you're on the voluntary reaction. What's up, bud?
Some of those qualities take.
Brendan, you got us? I can hear his TV, but yeah. I can't hear him. Give us a shout back, Brendan. 865-546-8200 is the number. Yeah, I mean, we said that this morning on Three and Out. We were a little worried that maybe Tennessee would, could have kind of the rust factor. Sometimes when these teams have played a game ahead of you at a venue like that, they can come out hot, and it might take you a minute to kind of get into the basketball game. But a couple plays on the front end, you know, maybe you could call that a slow start for Tennessee. But it really wasn't that big a deal. I mean, they got into the game fairly quickly and were good to go after that. And really, I mean, you look at the second half, I felt like Tennessee dominated the second half of the basketball game. Obviously, the highlight play, probably going to be all over SportsCenter, top 10, all that kind of stuff, is Admiral Schofield just absolutely posterizing Mississippi State. And, it really wasn't even as close as the score indicated late. The big guy from Mississippi State hit a bunch of threes, and so it kind of made it a little bit closer. All right, I think we've got Brendan. Let's give him a shot. Brendan, you're on Voluntary Action. What's up, bud?
What's up, fellas? How's it going?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. I wasn't too worried about this one, but, you know, always a little bit in the back of your head. You want to make sure you get to the game everybody expects, and now we're all set for Kentucky tomorrow.
You know what, fellas? I was telling my buddies earlier, I said that our boys, I said, we will play angry. You know, I said we will play hard, tough-nosed basketball, and we did, and we came out with a win. You know, as long as we carry that to Kentucky tomorrow, you know, I think we'll be fine, you know. I mean, I think Reed Travis is back. Am I correct?
Yes, he is. He played today. He's got a pretty heavy knee brace on, but he was out there, and he made a few plays for Kentucky today even.
It'll be interesting to see the pace of play, to see if he's able to keep going.
He'll carry his ass home back to town because, you know, he's not going to stop the big boys in Big Orange Country. He's just not going to do it, you know?
Yeah, Brendan, I felt like they played with a chip on their shoulder tonight, right? They had that edge that they had early in the season before they got the number one ranking.
Absolutely. I agree. We got to stay fired up. I know Lamonte, you know, he still started tonight, but, you know, whatever. We came out with a win. I wish nothing more than Jordan Bowden to be starting. But, you know, whatever. You know, we came out with a win, and, you know, we played a solid game. So, you know, whatever. I just hope Kentucky, you know, they need to eat their damn Wheaties come tomorrow morning. Eat your damn Wheaties, Kentucky, because Big Orange is coming, baby. We're coming.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's.
Yeah.
Let's.
We're coming.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah.
For Tennessee and other things just happened that made me really excited, but let's go right now. Brendan, yeah. I feel you, man. We're coming tomorrow. We're going to kick Kentucky's ass. It's going to be a great Saturday. Everything is going to be just fine. We're going to the ship. I'm ready. I can't wait for tomorrow.
Yeah, baby.
Hey, thanks for the call, Brendan. Appreciate it. God, Davey. Davey's excited because Duke won. Give me a break.
They won by 1 point. Like
I know you're excited about Tennessee too, but
I know. It was very interesting. I am fully involved in the show now. The TV is being turned off.
Put Nick on the horn. Nick, save me. I got Durham Davey Hudson. What was I thinking? Allowing Davey Hudson to do voluntary reaction as the Duke game ended.
Now you have an upbeat Davey Hudson because he got two wins tonight.
Well, I want you to go back and listen to the podcast later tonight, Davey, and how fast you were talking the first two times you said anything on this program because you were so nervous about the end of the Duke game.
My heart is racing. But, Nick, you're on the voluntary reaction. How you doing, buddy?
What time does Duke play?
Tomorrow, I think it's at 8:30.
No, today.
They just won.
They just won.
It was at the same time as Tennessee, which
they just won at the basically. Well, North Carolina missed a shot to win it at the buzzer.
Yes, they missed two
shots. I know that. I was waiting for Davey to freak out in the middle of one of these shots missing off, bouncing off the rim here.
See, we're a little behind.
He just did. during the Brendan call. So, like, right before you, Nick, he freaked out. And when he was saying let's go and trying to he duped Brendan into thinking he was fired up for the Kentucky matchup tomorrow. But he was actually excited because Zion and the boys are in the ACC
final. Not entirely true. I was holding my composure, and it just happened to go along with how Brendan was having his call.
Brendan was fired up. I want to party with Brendan tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon.
That was good. Yeah. Really, most of the reason why I called was just to give Davey shit and hope he freaked out in the middle of a segment.
I was really kind of hoping North Carolina would make that shot, and he'd pout his way out of here.
I knew he was going to beat the hell out of Mississippi State, so that was never a concern. So we're like 85% Durham Dave and 15% Vols. So Davey, congratulations on the big win tonight.
Thank you.
Go Vols. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks for the call, Nick.
But no, for Tennessee, getting to advance to play against Kentucky. I mean, it's what everyone wanted, right? You split the series during the season, and it was a 2-point difference when you had both games up. I don't know. Are you wanting to focus more, Nate, on talking about tonight's game? Or you? Because I feel like everybody's trying to just like look forward to tomorrow at this point.
Yeah, I think more pre-gaming for tomorrow is a better way to do it because this margin, I mean, Tennessee was like a 5.5-point favorite, so they covered that spread easily, especially, I mean, like I said, the final score I felt like was even a little closer than really the second half was. We're not going to have time to really talk about it tomorrow since it's on the weekend and the game's earlier anyway, so I think we go ahead and look towards that Kentucky game. Brendan said it. Reed Travis is back. He did have a heavy brace, but he did play. He's the type of player that can get some stuff done without being quite as mobile as he was early in the season because he is kind of a big body around the basket. So we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, if you want to weigh in with your thoughts on the Kentucky game tomorrow, I think that's the main thing we'll be kind of breaking down for the next 30 minutes or so. So give us a shout, 865-546-8200. We go now to Casey. Casey, you're on the voluntary reaction. What's up, bud?
All right. Brendan, the last person to talk, that was my buddy. All right, so we're talking about Kentucky. So when we get in this game with Kentucky, they really don't stand a chance. We come in with the momentum. I personally think – all right. So really, really, all that matters, all right, we got Schofield, Grant, all these guys – coming off this big win.
You got Kyle coming off the best game of the season, in my opinion, too. So,
all right. So, fucking it. Strike, go Vols. Fuck the Kentucky Wildcats. They ain't got shit. I mean, they're good, but I'll be damned. They're not going to beat the Tennessee Volunteers.
Book it.
Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield, we're going to play angry. The next few games, we're going to play angry.
Yes.
We are going to play angry.
Preach it, Casey.
Through the SEC tournament, through the March Madness, we are going to play angry basketball. What? Tennessee Vols, I bleed it. I bleed it orange, and I bleed it white. One fly, we all fly. One fly, we all fly, fellas.
I hear you, Casey. I hear you, buddy. Preach on. He bleeds orange and white, Davey. I mean, that's talent. That is Vol for life right there, orange and white. Appreciate the call, Casey. Thanks a lot, pal. Two calls from the same party. That's awesome. We have Brendan and Casey. They're partying together. And, I mean, I'm hoping we're partying. How many more weekends? We get this weekend, first and second round weekend, that's two. Then we get the Sweet 16 Elite Eight weekend, that's three. And then Final Four weekend, that's
you
four.
Get the, yeah, you technically can still get the weekend because the championship's on Monday.
Right. So for the next four weekends, I hope Brendan and Casey are partying along with us here at Fan Run Ready. All right, let's go in next to Tommy. Tommy, you're up next on the voluntary action. What's up, Tommy?
What's going on, boys?
Woo! As expected, bud. Bring on the big blue toothless Wildcats. Let's go.
You damn right. Let them come on down and get their ass whooped. Man, I was watching that damn game. I was kind of nervous because it went back and forth. You know, we jump out to a win, they're a big lead. Then that second half, you know, we jumped out to a great big one. Admiral and Kyle went off. and Grant went to fouling out like hell. And I'm kind of glad he did, you know, because everybody's talking, well, Travis is back for Kentucky. Oh, Travis is back. You know, that's gonna level it up. But, hey, our boy Grant got some rest, so bring it on, by God.
That's a good point. Yeah, I said all week I hoped at least one of these games could be kind of a snoozer, because there's been some data that teams that even win their conference tournament struggle a little bit to start the NCAA tournament. So I'm kind of hoping tonight's not too bad. We can just put it all on the line tomorrow, get a victory against Kentucky. I don't care what it takes for that one. And then you're already looking at two of the lower teams on the other half of the bracket. I mean, hell, you might face Florida in the final if you can get by Kentucky. And surely to God, we can end this 1979 streak if Florida's the team you have to face to win the SEC tournament. I'm ready. Let's do it. Let's get it done.
I hope so, but, you know, Florida's always been a little fun on our damn side when it comes to either football, basketball, whatever it is. You know, if we need them to beat somebody for us to win, they shit the bed, or they'll beat us, you know, when they shouldn't. But my main concern is, about every damn team we play is able to shoot threes on us at will. That damn, was it Holloman kid, the senior at Mississippi State? Hell, he was shooting them threes from Jackson, Tennessee over to Nashville.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, man. I don't get it. It seems like they made a couple even when Davey and I were watching, and like, I mean, it seemed right in their face, and they still hit them. I still think Tennessee could play a little better on the perimeter against the ball screen. But, you know, I know Kentucky hit some at Rupp, but really that's not Kentucky's strength. So Tennessee actually matches up pretty well with Kentucky in that regard, and I think you'll see a closer game, or one that's more like the game that was here, because that Rupp Arena game seemed more like the outlier to me.
Oh, yeah, especially now that Grant's rested up and getting down paint and just making a bitch.
Yep.
But tonight's a good night for me. I live here in West Tennessee, and I got to travel to work to Mississippi every day, and I just go down and tell them state fans to go fuck off.
Sounds good, Tommy. Thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yep. I was just going to say, looking at the box score, I mean, you had your prototypical game when it came to how you wanted to shoot. Like, Tennessee, 34 of 66 from the field, so you shot 51.5%. That's slightly above where they've been at on the season. And as we've talked about on three and out several times, you've had a top five team whenever it comes to field goal percentage. And then from three, we talked about this is not a team that wants to get into a situation where you're having to shoot a lot of threes. Only shot 11 threes tonight, and you made five. So, prototypical method that you come to expect whenever you're looking for success with the Vols this season.
Yeah, I mean, you really want – I mean, you know, they still score in the 80s. There were plenty of possessions in this game. Are you concerned at all that they didn't get to the free throw line until basically the game was almost over? Like, isn't that – that's really, really strange. I mean, I guess they shot a high percentage from the floor – But still, I mean, I don't know. Strange. Yep. Admiral had the the and one there late, but they didn't get to the line until really late in this game, and they only had 15 attempts, and most of those are Jordan Bone late when Mississippi State's just fouling to get the ball back.
Yeah, I mean, for tomorrow, I'd like to see you get to the line. I'm curious to see if a lower amount of free throws being attempted for both teams tomorrow, if like which team would that play in favor of? I'm trying to think back to earlier in the season when we played at Rupp, and then once they came here to TBA.
Well, Tennessee didn't get to the line at all in the second half of the game when they blew out Kentucky here. So that's what's weird, is some of Tennessee's best performances, they really didn't do much from the line. The game that you remember them shooting a ton of free throws was the Vanderbilt game, when you're in a dogfight with a team that you should have just blasted from the start. So it's kind of strange. It's almost like if Tennessee's offense is really clicking, they're getting such good shots that they're not even having to get fouled on them, that they're scoring at a real efficient clip, and it doesn't even matter. They're not having to get to the line. Bone is so smooth and fast to the basket. And he also never really takes a bad shot around the basket. I feel like he doesn't get fouled as much as some other point guards who force the ball to the rim a little bit more often. So, I don't know. We'll see. Sometimes you don't shoot a lot of free throws, and it means that you were too passive, too conservative. And sometimes you don't shoot a lot of free throws because you just were able to work and get a lot of, you know, really clean, open looks. Well, and I think that was more of what it was tonight.
Yeah, 21 assists tonight, which is great.
Right, yeah. I mean, you're moving the ball. You're getting looks that are so good. And a lot of the offensive rebound stick back plays for Tennessee were so clean, there were no fouls, right? I mean, Fulkerson's dunking, Kyle Alexander's dunking, and there's no one even around those guys to even try and foul them. So, there you go. I mean, maybe that's not a worry at all. I mean, I think the best thing that comes out of tonight's basketball game is that your role players showed up again. Kyle Alexander, I've been hard on him. He was, I don't know if he was sick or just went through a slump or whatever, but he was soft for about 2 to 3 weeks there late in the season. And while he's never going to be kind of that bully, bull in a china shop, but he played a lot stronger tonight and even was able to knock down shots in the mid-range.
Well, there was that. Yeah, he's definitely extended his range. But you just saw him have some fire and passion. Granted, I mean, he got a technical, and that whole situation, how they handled it, it should have just been offsetting. I don't think they should have got Kyle. But you haven't seen him have that ferocity. So, for moving forward, I mean, that's a great sign. Again, once you play Kentucky, I'm just trying to figure out, like, what's the best game plan? Obviously, you want to do what you did against Kentucky when they were here. And, I mean, that game plan, I feel like Kentucky, I didn't get a chance to watch all of their game today. I'm feeling really good about tomorrow.
Yeah? I don't know. A lot of people were saying, you know, Kentucky's back to this juggernaut team again. I mean, Tennessee, when they were able to beat them here, they didn't have Reed Travis. I don't know how much of an impact he was today in that game, because I'm with you. I was a little more plugged into Virginia and Florida State during that time window because the Kentucky game seemed pretty over pretty quickly. But I do think Reed Travis makes a big difference for Kentucky. I just don't know how much he does for them right now when he's, you know, not 100%.
Like, if you're able to stay in transition for most of that game, does that, like, I mean, is he going to struggle to get up and down the court?
It's possible.
Like, I mean just because, I mean, missing time, obviously, that's going to affect your conditioning. So,
today he played 23 minutes. He was 4 of 6 from the floor. He had 7 rebounds. I mean, that's 7 rebounds in 23 minutes. That's really good. He had 3 blocks, committed 4 fouls. Somebody said he hit somebody in the nuts, and it looked like it was on purpose. So I'll look for that video later. I definitely think he gives Kentucky that slightly dirty, kind of asshole on the team that some teams kind of need to have that chip on their shoulder. He had 8 points. So, I mean, he was a presence for half this game, and that might have been all they really needed in this one. So I wonder if they'll ramp him up more tomorrow or if kind of the 20 minutes is what they're looking to do. PJ Washington tonight wasn't great, actually, if you from the floor. If you look at his stat line, he's 4 of 12, and he was only 1 of 3 from the line. He did have 12 rebounds, but only 10 points. And Tyler Hero, 8 of 14. He had a big day with 20 as Kentucky beat Alabama 73-55. And, you know, I wonder if Alabama's even in. I know we kind of thought that obviously winning yesterday was important for mm-hmm. them, but they still, especially now that we know Florida's in, I know the committee doesn't really look at conferences and how many teams, but you gotta think there's some other stuff that's happened that's added teams to the field that probably shouldn't be. Like VCU, I think, lost, and that's going to open up an extra bid in that conference because VCU's probably in or something like that.
I think they were slotted as a 6 seed.
Yeah, so, and they lost like the 8 seed in their conference today. So some team that's probably wasn't going to get in is going to win that conference tournament. That's another bid stolen out of that conference.
I was looking back at the game that Kentucky played here at Thompson Bowling, and the most, I guess the biggest factor for me was that you protected the ball. You only had 5 total turnovers for the entire game. Tonight, I feel like there was, you were a little sloppy at times. What, I guess my question now is, Do you think Lamonte needs to stay in the starting lineup? Or do you want to try something new with him? Because he's just not had that fire that he had last year whenever you had him coming off and obviously led him to being the SEC sixth man of the year.
It doesn't really matter. It doesn't seem to matter to Bowden. Like, Bowden's not a spark when he comes in. I also don't think it hurts his confidence to come off the bench either. So it doesn't seem to matter to Bowden at all and affect his play. His streakiness is there, but it just doesn't really seem to have an impact either direction. So I don't know if, like, are you going to help Lamonte by not starting him in the game, or is that just going to crush his confidence and make it worse? I mean, he only shot 1-3 tonight and missed it. He took 7 shots. He was 2 of 7 from the floor. So he didn't kill you in that department. He did have 8 assists. He had 3 turnovers. There were a couple plays where
really,
Tennessee
8?
Was sloppy.
Wow.
Yeah, 8 assists for Lamonte Turner. So I mean, really, between Lamonte and Kyle and then and Bowden, if you get 2 of those 3 guys to just give you a pretty good game, you're in great shape. Because you really just need 2.5 stars to show up out of your other 3. Like, you need Grant, Admiral, and Bone to give you 2.5, you know, impact starts, basically, out of those 3 guys. And if they do, you really only need 1 other guy to show up, and you're going to be really, really hard to beat. Now, it might need to be a little bit better against Kentucky, but, I mean, Kentucky's playing as well as anybody. So this is going to feel like a regional final tomorrow, I think. I mean, I think we were talking about that earlier. I saw John Reed tweet this, that the way Duke and Carolina's game ended was about the worst case scenario for the SEC. Like it's going to be really easy now for the committee to justify 3 number one seeds for the ACC because the way that game went. Like, you really need a blowout in this game. It really didn't matter which direction.
Mm-hmm.
If North Carolina blows out Duke and Zion's healthy and plays the whole time, it's like, well, maybe they missed the other guy, and North Carolina's just so good, and this is just a reason why. I mean, I don't think they necessarily want to give the ACC 3 number ones.
I get, if Kentucky and Tennessee wins the SEC tournament, I can't see them not putting one of those teams in. When
All
you
right.
look at the entire body of work
Who
for the entire
drop?
Season.
Who do you drop? Duke, Carolina, Virginia, or Gonzaga?
I think Gonzaga will end up staying.
Well, it's not Virginia. And it's going to be Duke because they just beat Carolina.
I think it'll be Duke. I mean, I think Duke will stay. And it's just because they're at full capacity now. And so the committee will look at that. It's like, well, North Carolina, when they had their 2 wins, they got Duke when they were hurt.
So you think it comes full circle, and they look at North Carolina and say, and now that they've lost.
Well, of those teams, North Carolina had the worst non-conference schedule. They did beat Gonzaga, but all in all.
But Tennessee also beat Gonzaga, so that helps,
yes.
right?
So that like
if
that
it's
gives
Tennessee
you.
Tennessee that gets all the way there. I don't know. I'm afraid that if it's Tennessee that wins the SEC, they don't get a 1. But if it's Kentucky that wins the SEC, they do, which makes absolutely no sense.
Well, then that's probably not the worst thing to happen, because that is going to light a fire under this team's ass.
It's also a good point. Tennessee does seem to play better when they are kind of the underdog, and not just in the game, like just overall. Like, if Tennessee gets a 2, Rick Barnes should be like, they snubbed us. Can you believe this? Can you believe this shit? Like the committee thought you guys weren't good enough. Maybe that's the best thing to happen to Tennessee. I mean, that's the way I'm going to spin it. I'll go ahead and tell you. I will go ahead and tell you how I'm going to spin that into a positive.
Well, and you will also be most likely in the South. They're going to give you the worst 1 seed, most likely. If you win the SEC championship, they don't give you the 1 seed. They have to give you the best 2 seed. So if that's where fans are able to show up, or you just get the worst 1 seed, it's not terrible.
It's true. Who's the worst 1 seed? I mean, is it North Carolina? Is that who you get? Is that who you do want? Who would you want? Who do you want in your region? Out of Gonzaga, Virginia, North Carolina, or Michigan State? You want Michigan State?
Yeah. I think Tennessee would do well.
You can't have Michigan State. Who's next? You want Gonzaga, Virginia, North Carolina, or Duke?
Probably Virginia, just because their pace of play is, according to KenPom, it's 353rd out of 353rd. So on any given night, any team can beat them if they're just not consistently hitting from outside. And I think Tennessee having the ability to – that pack line defense, I think it would be a low-scoring game. But I do think Tennessee would be able to actually maneuver in there, get to the foul line, and if it's Grant – doing what he does, I think that'll ultimately give you the edge over Virginia. Just to pull it up, North Carolina, their non-conference, they got beat by Texas. They lost at Michigan State 84-67, and they got beat by Kentucky on a neutral site game. I want to say that one was in Chicago.
And
they lost to Louisville. Wait, that's conference. Never mind.
I know the AP poll, you know, had North Carolina, and the coaches had North Carolina all the way up to 3, but maybe that was, you know, maybe the committee never really thought that highly of North Carolina. Houston said it over and over on the weekday mornings, like, why do we not punish Duke for losing games without Zion Williamson,
but
we reward North Carolina for winning those games? So maybe the committee ultimately looks at it and says, Duke has Zion, they're a one, North Carolina only was able to, their best wins, for the most part, are over a Zion-less Duke team. And so maybe North Carolina ends up being the best 2 seed, but it'd still be interesting where they get put. And then the winner of the SEC tournament gets the final 1 seed, which may not matter because those teams might get matched up either direction. Like North Carolina 1, Tennessee/Kentucky 2, or Tennessee/Kentucky 1 and North Carolina 2. Maybe it doesn't matter.
It will be interesting, and I think you mentioned this either today or yesterday, Nate, on the show. The committee, when you look at it, they do have a Kentucky guy and they do have a Duke guy. So
good point.
But if those two teams are in contention, they have to recuse themselves, but right, they can at least like kind of talk others into line of thinking.
Yeah, people will want to. It's not even that. It's just that they're sitting there, and people will want to not have to face the ire of those guys. Although I will say they've made all of the voting on the top 1 through 68, and then once they start seeding teams with the kind of the serpentine and start placing in the brackets, they've made all that voting anonymous. So yeah, that's good.
And the way they're factoring in the net this year, there's just a lot of uncertainty. We don't exactly know how they're going to look whenever it comes to researching the quad 1, quad 2, quad 3, quad 4 wins with the net.
And it's a bonus that I think it's actually good that Tennessee-Kentucky play tomorrow instead of Sunday. If they played Sunday, maybe it would be an either-or, mm-hmm, but by playing tomorrow, it lets them go ahead and put that out there. And I don't see how – whoever wins tomorrow has to be in the better spot, right? Even if they're both twos, the better two slot has to go to the team that wins tomorrow. It's just the way. Like Kentucky, for every inkling of Kentucky passing the eye test for people more than Tennessee, it has to be washed away by the fact that Tennessee would have the rubber match and have less losses.
Well,
less losses.
Going back to your question, granted, this does not take into effect today's games. This is just through games of March 14th, so yesterday's matchups. Of the teams vying for a 1 seed, Virginia, number 1 in the net.
Okay.
Gonzaga, number 2. Duke, 3rd. And then Houston, 4th. Kentucky, 5th. And Tennessee, 6th. And then you have North Carolina right after Tennessee. So that loss today with Tennessee's win is going to make that disparity even further.
And really, it doesn't matter unless Tennessee wins tomorrow, which will bump them up even more. True. Ahead of North Carolina.
We've
always said whoever lost this game tonight will be the ACC team left out. And I don't think that Virginia losing because they were so strong and their losses to Duke were with Zion, I don't think that that's going to I don't think you can drop Virginia down. Florida State's a good team, too. It's not like losing to St. Mary's.
Do you think it's just in the back of people's minds, but last year's result against UMBC has any effect at all in how the committee judges Virginia.
I think it would have if it was basically tied. You know, if Virginia was kind of tied. But I think their resume is just so good. I don't think there's any way that that they can bump to the two line. Two losses to the best teams in the best team in the country, one of the best teams in the country, and then Florida State, who's another one. It's just too strong. I think you'll see Virginia as the one seed. Maybe they move around the regions or move around who the twos are, depending on what happens. I thought Virginia was the number one overall seed going into tonight's game. Maybe that changes. But I'm not even sure it really matters. So we shall see. Obviously, it'll come fast. It's Kentucky, Tennessee tomorrow. It'll be in the second semifinal. How about Auburn and Florida getting wins today? I know a lot of people were predicting Auburn to get through that half of the bracket, and I won't say they really looked great today. I mean, it was a pretty tight game for most of the way against the South Carolina team that really didn't look like they belonged.
I guess best case scenario, talking about Auburn and Florida, is for Auburn to win tomorrow and then you avenge that loss if you were to beat Kentucky and play in the SEC championship. I mean, that would show the committee at that point there's only one win that you have not avenged on the season, granted outside of Kansas. And I mean, LSU, Anthony Jordan's been suspended basically for the rest of the season based off of that game. So if you factor that in at all, that they had a ref that you could make a case rigged to the game and you only lost by one and or two in overtime on the road. I mean, Gonzaga's not done that. They've not avenged any of their losses.
Yeah, I mean, that's best case scenario for Tennessee. I also think it will scare the living daylights out of Tennessee fans. I think if Florida's in the final, you think, oh man, we got this. Surely we're beating Florida to win the SEC tournament, first time since 1979. All of those demons gone. If it's Auburn, you're freaking scared to death because Bruce Pearl, they just did it to you on the Plains. And I mean, I'll admit it. I was watching this team play today against South Carolina, and I miss watching that style of basketball more. I mean, it is just take the first open shot you get, let it fly, and they kept shooting. They missed three threes in a row, and then bang, back to back. I also missed that kind of that pressure defense full court that Auburn. They didn't run like Bruce Pearl's classic 55 press. They just made South Carolina uncomfortable all day long. And I got to think, after watching both teams play today, like, I know Florida played well, but I think Auburn's playing better. In fact, the kid that killed us in the game only had like 2 points and was in foul trouble the whole way, and Auburn still was able to win pretty easily over South Carolina today, and didn't even seem to have to do that much. So I do think whoever wins tomorrow between Tennessee and Kentucky will be facing Auburn most likely in the final on Sunday. And that, you know, it'll scare Tennessee fans, but it's also the storybook ending, right? You beat Kentucky, you prove you're better than them this year, at least through the SEC schedule and postseason for the conference, and then you get the revenge tour win over your former coach at Auburn to, you know, hang a banner for the SEC tournament, first time since 1979. We go next to Russell Smith of The Drive, joining the program. Russell, welcome to the Voluntary Reaction. You're on the other side of the phone line tonight, but I saw where you said you're not going to pick Tennessee to win an SEC tournament until it actually happens. What do you think the odds are now?
Well, first of all, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, yeah. Russ.
Thanks, Russ.
Happy weekend. Happy Saturday to you. I'm in a full-on Maryville meltdown, Aron County rage right now. I mean, how are we supposed to go to sleep when we got to be back out on the court 15 hours from now against Kentucky, with Reed Travis and a crowd that's probably going to be 75-80% those toothless, gutless, knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing morons, those Hill Jacks from Kentucky. Hold me, guys. I need somebody to hold me.
I got you, Russ. We're going to come out. First play, we're just going to go straight to Grant. We're going to let them know early what we're going to do, and they're just not going to be able to stop it.
Well, I like what we did today. I like our plan tonight. I mean, obviously, they had, you know, Lamonte was still 2 of 7 from the field, but we made it a point to pound it in inside to Grant and Admiral. We had, I believe it was 21 assists on 34 made field goals. Bone had 9, Turner had 8. So everybody played pretty well, but the competition, I mean, it's just going to increase so dramatically tomorrow. And, you know, we'll find out a good bit of, you know, what this team is made of, whether they're for real or not. I don't want to rain on the parade or anything, but I have my doubts. You know, I mean, we still let Mississippi State shoot 45% from the field. I guess half of that was probably just that one dude going off in the last 5 minutes of the game. That was insane. But we're going to have to step it up a notch, I think, on the defensive end and, you know, not allow them to just out-physical us. So it's going to be interesting, man. I'm hopeful, hoping for the best, preparing for the worst. Yeah, Nate, I mean, it's the SEC tournament, man. I've been watching Tennessee playing this thing since, I mean, the first one I can remember was actually in Knoxville. I was in third grade, and it was in Thompson Bowling back when they played it on campuses. And, like, we've never seen Tennessee win this thing in my lifetime. You know, I'm almost pushing 40. And it's, just so many times we've broken our heart, but not to be too negative about it, but I'm going to have to believe it. I'm going to have to see it to believe it.
Well, can Kyle Alexander, you know, can he bring it again? Like, tonight, I felt like he finally played like he did earlier in the season. I don't know what's been wrong with him for the last 2 weeks or so, but I mean, I know we're app only. I still don't want to say the word that I've called him in my living room, but, like, can he man up, you know, again? And he was a lot better tonight. But you're right. The level, like the stakes, the physicality, we saw it at Rupp Arena. Like, Tennessee wasn't ready for the type of a physical, you know, type of game it was there. They were when Kentucky came back. I think both teams will be ready tomorrow. I think this will be a knockdown dragout again. I do wonder if the officials try to kind of rein it in early. But if Kyle Alexander can play like he did tonight, and he'd be even a little stronger with on the defensive end and with the basketball, that's got to be a great sign moving forward.
Do you think we'll stick with the way we did it in the first two games with Grant on P.J. Washington and Kyle on the first game it was Travis, and the second game it was Nick Richards and E.J. Montgomery? Do you think we stick with that matchup, or, you know, if do we mix it up and throw some different looks at P.J. Washington, who they really handled well? I mean, it was night and day from the first game to the second game, the way we played him.
I have his stats right in front of me, and you held him to 6 field goal attempts in that game. And he got to the line 13 times and made 9 of them, but other than that, he was 2 of 6 from the field. If you can keep him to those numbers again, you got to feel pretty good about your chances.
Well, the first game, Russ, I thought they started the game trying to put Kyle on him, and that was the problem. P.J. Washington, like, it was the first possession Grant took him and got the charge, and it's like, oh man, this is great. And then after that, it's like they tried to put Kyle on him, and he dominated Kyle. Then they went to Admiral, and it was like 3 straight possessions he jump hooked over Admiral. And by the time they tried to roll Grant back to him, like, it was almost Keldon Johnson had hit 2 threes, and it was almost too late. In the second game, they put Grant on him almost exclusively and basically shut him down. So, I mean, it seemed like in the first game they didn't want to have Grant have to expend so much energy on the defensive end. But, I mean, if you can take P.J. Washington basically out of the game, like, it's just worth it. I mean, you got to ask Grant to do that, and you got to hope the other guys can step up and help with the scoring on the other end. So I expect to see Grant Williams on P.J. Washington and Kyle on Richards, you know, the big guy. I mean, that's an easy like-for-like matchup there. And then I guess in that scenario, you've got to tell Admiral he's got to handle Reed Travis when he's in the game. They're similar size players. But the other thing that was interesting in the second matchup, Tennessee was kind of already dominating Washington, but Admiral then switched on to him in the second half, and it was like Washington wasn't a factor. He was kind of done at that point. So I think you'll see Grant on him to start, and then they'll rotate some other guys after that.
Yeah, it seems like Barnes likes to rotate guys. I noticed when – was it Holman who was just hitting everything in the second half?
Five for five.
We tried – like Admiral was on him for a while. I think Grant took a shot, and eventually towards the end they put Lamonte on him. Lamonte's given up like 8 inches, and of course he just immediately banged in a three. So, I mean, luckily, you know, we were – I think we ran like 5 straight pick and rolls on – they just could not stop it, and we were hitting our free throws down the stretch. But, we can't afford to have anybody go off like that tomorrow. I haven't seen the Kentucky stats, but, you know, they ended up running Alabama out of the gym. Calipari does not traditionally play his bench the way Barnes does. And we had, you know, of course, Williams had the foul trouble, so he only played 26 minutes. But Schofield, Turner, and Bowen played 31 minutes, which – you know, we've been having guys play 35-plus minutes, our starters, the past couple of games. So hopefully that saves our legs a little bit. You saw Weatherspoon cramping up. You know, it's the SEC tournament. You play 2 games in less than 24 hours. You know, Kentucky has, what, 3 extra hours to recuperate? You know, seems like every minute, every hour is precious in these type of situations. So we'll see, though. Luckily, we didn't have to, you know, just play everybody balls to the wall for 40 minutes tonight. So hopefully that'll pay dividends tomorrow.
Yeah, P.J. Washington played 35 and Tyler Hero played 36. So they, good. You know, their top 2 guys went the distance, basically.
And that was, you know, they ended up winning that, pulling away. I didn't see a ton of the second half, but the first half of that game was played at an extraordinary pace. I mean, it was back and forth, teams just running up and down. It was a close game, so... I don't feel like our game was played at quite that pace, so hopefully that's a good sign.
Yep, it'll be fun, Russ. Have a great weekend, buddy.
I hope so. Fun. It'll be something. It's not going to be fun. I'll tell you like that.
The beginning will be fun, either way.
I'm going to be a nervous wreck, just in the fetal position,
sucking
my thumb.
Enjoy it, Russ. Come on. You don't get a basketball team this good, you know, every year. You got to at least enjoy the journey. Isn't this like a great hike? Like whether, I mean, I know you're a big hike in the woods guy for particular matchups where you're a little nervous and scared. Maybe you should do that tomorrow. But isn't this hike in the woods? Like you don't know if you're going to end up at the mountaintop or at the bottom of a gully with no view, but you better enjoy the walk because it doesn't come along, you know, that often like this.
Well, I hope we enjoy it. If we win, I will be celebrating. I might go on that hike bare ass naked tomorrow. So you can just I don't know, maybe that's an incentive for us not to win, but should be fun, guys.
Well, Davey's picked Kentucky already on the show this morning, so I feel like that gives Tennessee a great chance to win.
Well, I was actually going to say it. I checked out the article that Tanner Carson got put up on FoxSportsKnoxville.com, and Russell, me and you had the exact same prediction as far as Kentucky playing LSU in the final and PJ Washington being named MVP.
Well, y'all have both been wrong so far. So
let's keep it rolling.
Dull minds think alike. Hey, Davey, what are you doing? What is Durham Dave doing during a Duke Carolina game? Like, did you even watch the Tennessee game tonight? Be honest.
Yes, I had both. I was at the Fan Run Studios since the beginning of both games, and I had the Tennessee game on the TV here, and on my laptop, I had the Duke Carolina game, and I had the Duke game on mute until the Tennessee game went to halftime, and I kind of was going back and forth, and it wasn't too hard to watch them both at the same time, but happy to get 2 wins tonight.
He got way too excited, Russ, when Duke won. I got to admit that. He was way too excited.
Lame.
So unprofessional. It was kind of like cheering in the press box, really. I mean, we're trying to do Tennessee voluntary reaction, he's going crazy in here. Just won a national championship.
No, I was feeding off the caller.
We did have a caller that was pretty fired up for the Kentucky-Tennessee game, so it kind of meshed up, but I don't know.
I was reacting based off him. It was a little over the top, But
he was so excited. I was kind of hoping North Carolina would actually score at the buzzer and just break his heart. But then I'd had to console him the whole time. I don't know. It's a mess.
Well, all right, gentlemen. y'all be good tonight. Let's find a way to get another W tomorrow, and we'll see what happens.
Go Damn Vols.
Have a good one, Russ. Oh, man. If you want to weigh in, final call for phone calls, 865-546-8200 as we get set for Kentucky tomorrow. Just a reminder, that game will tip off on ESPN, I believe that's right, at around 3:30 following the 1 o'clock game between Auburn and Florida in the first semifinal. It's the game everybody's wanted. It is an ESPN game, and it is the game everybody wanted when this – bracket was ultimately set with LSU. I wonder what Will Wade was thinking as the LSU head coach, you know, now interim head coach, got a technical foul and helped Florida have a 6. It could have been a 7-point possession, Davey. For you, those of you that might have still been working this afternoon during that one, Florida attempted a 3. Florida was down 5. No, I think they were down 6. With under 4 to go, I believe, they attempt a 3-point shot as Naz Reid blows through the screener. They incorrectly, in my opinion, counted the basket. Like, it was obviously a foul Naz Reid. That was a good call. But they blew the whistle kind of late. They counted the 3. So now we have a counted 3, an off-the-ball foul, but Florida's already in the bonus. Their coach loses his mind, gets a tech. So it was 3 points immediately awarded. 2 shots for the technical, and then 2 shots for the regular bonus. Might have been 1-1, but anyway, he missed, I think, the final free throw. So they scored 6 out of the 7 potential points, and I believe that tied the game. I could be wrong, but it definitely. I mean, LSU, as Jimmy Dykes kept saying, lost the game in the first half. They had a double digit lead in the first half and could have just put Florida away and kind of ended it.
Yeah, I honestly saw that score, and I was just like, I had an opportunity to go turn it on at that point. I was like, I got other things I need to work on, and so I kind of just lost track of time, and by the time I kind of came back, it was like 2 seconds left, and I saw Tremont Waters just letting the ball roll up the court.
Oh, yeah.
And he doesn't – well, that wasn't
– that was a little more time left.
Yeah, there's a little bit more time left on that one, and he just doesn't pick it up, and the Florida guy just dives straight at it, managed to get a jump ball. It's like – can't allow those opportunities to slip away like that. I did look it up, and Auburn and Florida have played 1 time this season. Mm-hmm. It was at Auburn, and Auburn won 76-62. Granted, for Florida, that game was jam-packed between playing Kentucky and then coming to play at Knoxville. So, take it for what it's worth, 14-point win for Auburn in their only matchup this season. And they'll, as you mentioned, Nate, square off tomorrow around 1 o'clock on ESPN.
I may have had the timing all wrong on this 6-point play deal, but might have been a lot more time left in the second half. But at any rate, it was a huge play in the game. It let Florida completely come back all in one possession. It was pretty nutty. Florida scored 51 points in the second half of this basketball game against LSU. I mean, think about that.
That's got to be their best on the season.
Oh, I'm sure it is, at least in conference play, right? Like, I mean, they might have done that against some non-con team, but and Javonte Smart played in this game too. Like, I guess I kind of assumed too quickly, but I thought that, you know, by him being out in the first game, that he would be out for the whole SEC tournament, but he played and LSU lost. Which is funny. It probably actually hurts their resume more that he played and lost. If he doesn't play and they lose, then you could maybe say, well, we've cleared him for the NCAA tournament, and the committee's probably not going to punish them as much, you know, since he's out. But now that he played in this game and they lost, I think you're going to have the committee kind of look at LSU and say, yeah, they won a lot of close games. They're maybe not that good. I mean, they're probably still get a 2, but they might get a 3.
Oh, I don't think they'll get a 2 at this point.
Maybe not.
I was honestly thinking that the committee could drop them from a 3 to a 4 after not advancing past today.
A 3 to a 4?
I know that sounds crazy.
No, they're a 3. I think they're a 3. I could be wrong, but I can't find this. I'm on the play-by-play for this game, and I cannot find this
technical
possession.
Sequence.
Yeah, it's so weird. I don't see it. But anyway, just a wild game as Florida gets the win. I still think Auburn's got to be the heavy favorite tomorrow.
They'll be a three. I'm looking at these other teams. I want to correct myself.
Many, yeah,
too many warts
be a three. On these other teams. Like, Texas Tech lose. I mean, like, even a lot of the two-seed type teams have kind of choked in their conference tournaments too. So that's kind of a tough one. All right, tomorrow let's run down the games. And we're about to get off here, so literally the final call for phone calls. We'll take one more if you want to weigh in, 865-546-8200. So tomorrow the Big Ten semifinals gets things started along with the SEC. Both of these are 1 o'clock tips, Wisconsin and Michigan State. You need to be pulling for Wisconsin in that game because you don't want Michigan State to have any leg to stand on. They won the Big Ten regular season. I do not want them winning their tournament and trying to leapfrog Tennessee if the Vols potentially, you know, beat Kentucky. 1 o'clock is Florida-Auburn in the SEC tournament. You've got I'm scrolling by some of these lower-tiered tournaments. You've got Tennessee and Kentucky to follow. Of course, that'll be around 3:30, and we'll have voluntary reaction to follow it as well. You got the AAF going on with Memphis and Houston. So if you haven't been able to catch Houston play all year, they play. Of course, that's the same time as Tennessee. Maybe we'll get a little staggered and you can see them at halftime.
Everyone expected Memphis to lose today against UCF, and they kind of just put it on them. Everyone was expecting a Houston versus UCF rematch, and Houston recently got beat by UCF.
So Penny still has a shot at the big dance if he can win two more games in the AAC tournament and get the automatic bid. Wichita State and Cincinnati are in the other semifinal of that one. That's an so Wichita State, where are they on the bubble? They're 19-13, 10-8. I'm guessing they're on the wrong side.
I want to say they,
but they could get
been slotted
too
for like the play-in game.
Okay, so they're trying to play their way in also with some wins. Iowa State Kansas is going to be your Big 12 final. That's a 6 o'clock tip on ESPN, so that will follow the Tennessee game. And then of course the big one tomorrow night in the ACC final, Florida State, who looked really good today against Virginia, takes on Duke. Maybe if Florida State beats Duke, that might throw another huge curveball at the committee too. We'll see how that goes. And then the Pac-12 tournament is at 10:30 tomorrow night. That's the final of that one.
They still have games going on right now.
Washington's already won, and the other opponent is to be determined. So I guess if you're a fan of a mid-major, maybe a secondary fan of them on the bubble, you're probably hoping Washington can just go ahead and finish that off. Colorado, who Jay Billis kept saying was going to win that tournament, got just absolutely handled by Washington. So. Is there a chance Washington wins that big tomorrow night and the Pac-12 only gets one team? Because Arizona State's a bubble, right?
Yes.
So if they – and I don't know where that game is right now. They could lose tonight, right?
Yeah, they're playing Oregon right now, and Oregon is leading 22-16 with 6:20 left in the first.
All right. So if Oregon wins that one and some bid stealing goes on, Arizona State ends up out, you could have –
I can't even fathom just saying the Pac-12 has one team.
Power 6 conference or Power 6 in basketball with one bid. That would be absolutely insane. That's where they are. Have you heard – okay, this is more of a three and out type of topic than a voluntary reaction. We'll wrap it up with this. Have you heard about Larry Scott, the Pac-12 commissioner, and where he's staying for their tournament?
No, I have not heard this.
He's staying in a penthouse suite. I think the Pac-12 is at is in Vegas.
Yes.
Right? No. That's where Gonzaga was playing. So find out where the Pac-12 tournament is. But anyway, wherever it is, he is staying. It might be in Vegas also. He is staying in a penthouse suite that normally costs $7,500 a night and has 24-hour butler service. And he will not allow the Pac-12 commissioners to review the Pac-12 budget as they like, you know, are trying to save money because they're broke.
It's in Vegas.
It is in Vegas. Okay. So the
yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised by that story one bit. We've mentioned it on 3 and Out and how the Pac-12 has so many issues right now, and it's just doesn't look like anything is going to be resolved anytime soon.
And I guess I kind of owe Colorado an apology. They only lost by 5. Apparently they were up big in the first half, and then they choked and lost the second half by 11. But anyway, Colorado, done. You don't have to worry about them in the NCAA tournament. Washington is through. They'll play in the final. So Washington's in the tournament, win or lose tomorrow. And if they win, the unheard of could happen, I guess. The Pac-12 may only get one team in the NCAA tournament. But, of course, all eyes will be on Nashville Bridgestone Arena. It's going to be a 3:30-ish tip-off. Kentucky, Tennessee, voluntary action to follow tomorrow immediately after the game. So tune back in then, as we'll have continuing coverage for you. Need to let you know that voluntary action is presented in part by the McKinney team right now, and it's the McKinney team with Keller Williams. They'd love to help you buy or sell in the Knoxville area, and the McKinney team is on board with us sponsoring our March Madness live game broadcast. They come up. They're going to start with the NCAA tournament next week, of course, starting on actually, we've got first four action after we get done with our local programming next week. And then if we have a local show in the afternoon, of course, we'll stick with that. But nights, weekends, we'll have live March Madness Big Dance game broadcast for you. If you're stuck at work, you're out in the car, and you need to listen to the games instead of watching, we'll have them for you right here, courtesy of Westwood One. Fan Run Radio is the exclusive home of the NCAA tournament right here in the Knoxville market. And if you're listening in another part of the state or the country or the world, you can even stream the games through the Fan Run app or through the website at foxsportsknoxville.com. So if you know, if it's some of those other sessions and you just want to kind of keep an ear on the game as you get some stuff done around the house, or you're out in the car, you have to work, and you can't watch the NCAA tournament, you can listen to it right here on WKGN and Fan Run Radio. And it's all brought to you by the McKinney team with Keller Williams. It's Travis and Emily McKinney, and they'd love to help you if you're buying or selling a home or property here in the Knoxville market. So check them out online at ZillowKnoxville.com and look for more information as they sponsor our March Madness live game broadcast here as Tennessee wraps up the SEC tournament this weekend and goes into the NCAA tournament. We'll find out their home on Sunday.
I'm just going to go to bed with the Admiral dunk just replaying in my head.
Over and over and over, you know, insert and veins and all that good stuff. I mean, what a highlight reel. What a way to cap off the Players Tribune video that he put out, and then to have that moment in the first game. And hopefully, I mean, I do think Grant Williams is your best player.
Mm-hmm.
But I almost think the heart, it's like Grant Williams is the brain of this team and Admiral Schofield is the heart. You know what I mean? It's like he's the emotion. He's the edge.
And
he's
Bone's
the
engine, if we just keep naming things.
Okay.
The offense kind of goes through Bone.
So. Bone's just both legs, I think. He just
The official NCAA March Madness account did tweet out the Admiral with, obviously, the video of the dunk, and just says, dunk of the year, ? It's up there, man.
Yeah.
It makes the final cut whenever you're putting them there. It's like, I loved the Bowden dunk earlier in the year, but I mean, he didn't do that over anybody.
True. Admirals is so perfect. It's the classic posterized dunk. So, yeah, and I mean, for all Zion's awesome, like, out in open court dunks, those are still open court, you know? So, like, I don't know if he have one where he's just like...
He's got the Virginia one over Salt, somebody. Where Salt knocks the ball out of his hand. He catches the ball again and then dunks it over him.
So, yeah, that's...
I don't know. They're very questionable. Like, I couldn't make a decision.
That was spectacular tonight, though. Admiral showed out. Kyle had a great game. Lamonte played more than himself. 8 assists for Lamonte Turner, if you missed that earlier in the show. So, checking us out tomorrow. Voluntary action to follow. Tennessee and Kentucky. You've been listening to Voluntary Reaction. It's been presented by the McKinney team with Keller Williams, and we'll have it for you again tomorrow after Kentucky, Tennessee. So tune back in then at Fan Run Radio through our app or online at foxsportsknoxville.com. For Davey Hudson, I'm Nate Hodges. We'll be rotating through with a lot of our hosts this weekend. So stay tuned for voluntary reaction tomorrow and then hopefully again Sunday afternoon as Tennessee tries to win the SEC tournament for the first time since 1979. We've got all your voluntary reaction coverage right here on Fan Run Radio.